بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue into the topic, the rejectionist Shia, and this is part 14. In this part, we will gain some knowledge concerning the references or the books of the rejectionist Rafida of the Shia. As we learned earlier, some of their reports point that the first book that appeared to them is the book of Salim or Sulaim bin Qais al-Hilali. And we came to know the discrepancies and contradictions regarding this book. But it appears that the most comprehensive compilation of their reports in the early times is that which was established by Abu Ja'far al-Qummi Muhammad bin al-Hasan bin Farrukh al-Saffar al-Qummi, who died in 290 after Hijrah. In his book known as Basair al-Darajat. And this is a collection of their so-called narrations. And it was published in 1285. And this Saffar was considered by Brockelman to be the real establisher of the Imamite fiqh in the non-Arab lands. In this book is filled with insults. In fact, excessive insult to the Book of Allah and excessiveness regarding the status of their imams, and in imputing kufr, disbelief, upon the companions, which makes it certain that most of its reports are fabricated and attributed to the imams. Then in the 4th century after Hijrah, the renewal of authorship began by Al-Killini, who died in 328 or 320 or 329 in his book Al-Kafi. Then afterwards, more and more works appeared. So what are the major books with the 12 Imamite Rafida? The major books which are considered the sources of the reports with the 12 Imamite are 8. They call them Al-Jawami' Al-Thamaniya. Al-Jawami' Al-Thamaniya. And they claim that these are the most important resources for their narrations from their imams, as mentioned in the book of A'yan al-Shia, volume 1, 288, and the book Muftah al-Kutub al-Arba'a, volume 1, page 5. The first of these resources, and most authentic to them, is Al-Kafi. Despite that it is one of the four, one of their fours, in which the myths concerning the Book of Allah appeared. The myths which we talked about in the early talks concerning their position regarding the creed of their creed regarding the Quran. The narrations in Al-Kafi mount to 16,099, and it was published several times and was explained by many of their shuyukh. In it there are many narrations which are plain kufr by the consensus of the Muslims, like the reports concerning the distortions in the Quran, as they put it. So this is the one of their of these eight resources. The second is من لا يحضره الفقيه لمحمد بن يعقوب الكليني, or rather الكافي is for الكليني, and من لا يحضره الفقيه to their sheikh known to them as الصدوق, the trustworthy محمد بن بويه القمي, who died in 381. Then the other book, تهذيب الأحكام and الاستبصار, both of them for their sheikh known as the sheikh of the sect, Abi Ja'far Muhammad bin al-Hassan al-Tusi, who died in 360 after Hijrah. Then their shiuch after the, or in the 11th century after Hijrah and afterwards, they authored other books, and from the contemporaries however considered four of them, and they are Al-Wafi for the Sheikh Muhammad bin Murtada, who is known as Al-Kashani, who died in 1091, and Bihar Al-Anwar for their Sheikh Muhammad Baqir al-Majlisi, who died 11110 or 1111 after Hijrah, and Wawasail al-Shia. Also Tahsil Masail al-Shia for their Sheikh Muhammad bin al-Hassan al-Hur al-Amili, who died in 1104, wa Mustadrak al-Wasail li-Husayn al-Nuri al-Tabrasi. There are many books which they consider in terms of reliability as these main four ones which we spoke about earlier. One major distinction between the resources of Ahl Sunnah and these so-called resources of these rejectionists is that when Ahl Sunnah report a narration, then they take the isnad, the chain, to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they attribute that to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As to these books by the rejectionist Shia, then they take the narration to one of their imams, to one of their 12 imams, and they say and believe that there is no distinction between what they, the imams, report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or and there is no distinction in the report whether it is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or from one of their 12 imams. And even if you go and scrutinize their books, these major ones which we have mentioned some of their names, you will rarely find that which is chained in the narration to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And most of that which they report is in their kafi, and it stops with Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq. It stops with Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq, meaning the narration. And very few go to his father, Muhammad al-Baqir. And still very few that goes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and rarely is that which goes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Furthermore, one notices that the latter four, which were authored in the 11th century and afterwards, and the last by An-Nuri al-Tabrasi, who died in 1320 after Hijra, and in which he collected in it 23,000 narrations from the Imams, which were not known before. Listen, none of these 23,000 were reported before. You know when did he die? He died in 1320 after Hijra. Think about this. He is way from the times of the Imams in hundreds of years, isn't it? Are you following? You following on that? He died in 1320. It's hundreds of years from the Imams, from the time of the Imams. So assuming the early ones took the narrations to the Imams when they were close to them, quote unquote, then how one would ever give the slightest trustworthiness to a narration not recorded all over 11 centuries or 13? And their early scholars did not collect these narrations, and they were not mentioned nor recorded in their former books. It was not collected by their Kilini. And you know what? Earlier in the talk, we knew that Al-Kilini used to do the narrations in the presence of the four emissaries. Four emissaries? Yes. The emissaries from the Mahdi, remember? And he called his book Al-Kafi, the sufficient, meaning it's sufficient for the Shia. And that he presented his book to their Mahdi by way of these emissaries. And he said, Kafin li Shi'atina, sufficient for our Shia. As we mentioned this earlier. And their reference, known as At-Tusi, he said he compiled in his book all that which is related to fiqh from hadith of his companions, their companions, and their books, etc. And there were only very, very few of narrations left, and they are irregular. So this person comes in 1320 and he says that he collected what? 23,000 or something? What was the number? 23,000 narrations. These books were put there for at latter times and attributed to their early shiyukh. You know what? Even their early four books were not free from injections and additions. Take, for example, the book known as Tahdhib al-Ahkam by At-Tusi. The total number of narrations in it, as mentioned, 13,950. As mentioned by Agha Bazrak Al-Tahrani in his book Al-Dhari'a, and by Muhsin Al-Amili in his book A'yan al-Shia, volume 1, 288, and others. While At-Tusi himself made it explicit in his book Iddat al-Usul that the number of narrations are slightly over, look at this, 5,000. Slightly over 5,000. This is the compiler. So at most, it's less than 6,000. So, you know, the addition is almost twofold. And in the latter times, this is evidence in front of us, which asserts the injection and fabrication of narrations and attributing them to the imams. It's even more dangerous than this. Their trustworthy sheikh, known as Hussein bin Haydar al-Karaki al-Amili, who died in 1076, he said that the book of Al-Kafi, which we mentioned earlier, constitutes 50 books with narrations. And each narration is connected to the imams. While we also know that their Sheikh At-Tusi, who died in 360, he said that the book of Al-Kafi comprises 30 books. And that the Sheikh himself informed of the narrations that is in Al-Kafi. This is in Al-Fihrist, page 161. So between the 5th century and the 11th century, what? How many additional books? 20. 20, right? 20 additional books. And each book having 10 of chapters. And each chapter with a collection of narrations. This is like natural. Why? Because the one who lied on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions and the relatives, then by all means will lie on his shuyukh. And the evidence for this are replete. This is concerning their books. What about the texts in these books? Opposition and contradiction. So contradiction that one of their shuyukh, Muhammad bin al-Hasan al-Tusi, felt pain because of this. And he tried and put attempts to solve these contradictions or these contradictions and to direct them, but could not succeed. Rather, he added to the problem. How? Where he attributed this contradiction or these oppositions to the principle of quote unquote taqiyya, concealment, without any evidence. Their opposition of their reports refers to opposition in the narrations and in the text. It is not an opposition in deduction. It is not an opposition in deduction, but in the essence. And there is no doubt, when such contradictions occur, then this is a proof for the futility of the sect and the lies and fabrications of its narrations. And that this is not from Allah, that this is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said in Surah An-Nisa 482, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not then consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein much contradictions. Some of their shuyukh admit that the reason for all of this, they said, is too many lies on the imams. Al-Fayd bin al-Mukhtar. In fact, there are narrations attributed to Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq and some of their imams Yes, yes. That they complained of people coming and taking narrations and fabricating lies on them, seeking worldly gains, as by Al-Fayd bin Al-Mukhtar, reported in his book Al-Shia, page 90. And when they are faced by this, they say that this is done only because of fear and taqiyya and concealment, or they say, as their Sheikh Al-Majlisi in his book Al-Ittijah, page 116, that the narrations of the Imams are difficult and that their wordings may have different angles to it. And the merit is in to submit to them, and that it is forbidden to oppose the narrations to them. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 2, 192 and 182 to 212. As to the meanings of these narrations and its and their contents, mere looking at it, you will come to know its opposition to Islam and what Islam necessitates and what is known by tawatur, by consecutiveness, and what is agreed by the Muslims, and that which is directly in opposition to the intellect. What about their creed concerning the consensus? You know, this is the Ijma'. Consensus is from the foundations of Ahl Sunnah, and it is the third foundation after the book and the Sunnah upon which the knowledge and the deen depends. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, فَمَنْ قَالَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالْإِجْمَاعِ, whoever holds to the book and the sunnah and ijma', then he is from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And in his Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 3, 346. So what is the creed of the rejectionist Shia regarding the consensus of the Muslims? This will be the topic of part 15, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these presentations a benefit for myself and for everyone who listens to them. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them a benefit for every seeker of the truth regarding this sect and who may have been confused by misinformation or by emotions or politics in our times. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.